Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I'm Chemda.
Right before the show, we play this song often, by the way. Empire State of Mind with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys. Remember in the song he goes, I'll be hood forever?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still with the new vegan diet and his baby has a $1 million crib? That crib is more expensive than any crib lived in. What does hood mean? Bourgeois?
I think hood means you're poorly spending your money. So one way or another, he is very terribly, okay. Horrendously played. How could you look your hood in the face with your $1 million crib?
Right.
You know, I think he means he's building stadiums in the hood so he can go visit.
Today's Keith and the Girl show is brought to you by Squarespace, and all opinions about Jay-Z they concur with. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and makes it easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com, enter this offer code, KATG12, KATG12. And I'm very excited to introduce something new to you today, something we'll be doing for the next 2 weeks. First, let me tell you this, Keith and the Girl will be at NYC Podfest. We just did LA Podfest.
It was so much fun. We did a live show there. We did a few panels. And if you want to see us in New York doing PodFest, we will do a live show. Danny will be in it. Micah Fox, Lauren Hennessy, a bunch of favorites that you've heard on Keith and the Girl and Keith and the Girl VIP, of course. And if you go to nycpodfest.com, you can get tickets now. It's a small venue, so get your tickets now.
January 11th and 12th. Get tickets now. Hemda's right. It is a small venue. Make sure you buy tickets. Elvis Jr. called in just the other day, said out of the whole year, going to the LA PodFest was his favorite thing about Keith and the Girl. So do stop by. We do want to see you. Now, what we're going to start bringing you in for the next 2 weeks is Keith and the Girl storytellers. We had storytellers, very behind the scenes. We had storytellers come in. These are professionals. This is what they do for a living. Now, if I knew that when I was just called a liar when I was a kid. But apparently these are true stories, and these guys, they know how to tell a story that'll make you laugh, make you cry. So we recorded their story.
And normally you would pay money for this.
Right. We'll play their story, and then we'll talk about their story, but they're not here, so we can say whatever we want because it's behind their backs. During the show, of course, you're listening live, keithandthegirl.com/feedback. Be sure to type in and we'll be saving your feedback and we'll go over some of those afterwards our personal lives, you know, how we can relate to the story.
Yeah. So if you're listening to the story and you have something that you connect with, please send it to us now, keithandthegirl.com/feedback, and we'll take a look at that. We're going to give our opinions on it and we want to hear yours. So I'm really excited about this first guy. He's a real pro.
He's going to set the stage, as a matter of fact. His name is Jeff Simmerman, S-I-M-M-E-R-M-O-N. Jeff Simmerman. He's a writer and storyteller regularly. He's been on the Moth Slams in New York. His work has appeared in Vice Magazine, This American Life, an anthology, Post-It Note Diaries. You're going to like it. Starting it all off, Jeff Simmerman.
There's no more buffalo left to hunt, and there's no coals to walk on. There's nothing left to transition your passage from boyhood to manhood, really, which is why I'm a grown man with like 3 Batman t-shirts. But all that's left is that first big breakup. And I'm totally going through that. It's maybe my sophomore year of college, and I'm going through it hard, sitting on my childhood bed, face in my hands, just not even crying anymore, just air is shooting out of my tear ducts, and I'm just going like that. And I'm listening to the fucking Smiths. I hate the Smiths, but I was going through a breakup, and I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And while I'm doing that, my little sister comes into the room. She shuts the door quietly and sits down next to me. She puts her arm around me, gives me a side hug, and then she brings her other arm around and gives me a full double, like full real hug, and holds me for a second. Then she takes a Kleenex out of her pocket and kind of dabs my tears and holds me a little more. And then she says, bitches gonna come and bitches gonna go. That's how shit is. But the love we got between us, that shit is real. It is lifelong. I have loved you since the day I was born. I'm going to love you till long after you are dead, all right? That shit is tight and it runs real deep. And, she pauses, I just wanted you to know I always secretly hated that bitch. And if you want, I would be more than happy to take the dog chain around to her house and show her what the fuck time it is. All right? And I was like, all right, I'll just take the hug. I declined the offer to have her chain whip my first ex-girlfriend ever. But as we're very different people, in case you hadn't noticed, like, we have the same parents. We totally have the same parents. I saw her in the hospital. We got the right one when we came home. She was not adopted out of an episode of The Wire. That's just, I don't know what happened, but that's who she is. When I was at college, like majoring in art, getting super into Sonic Youth, she was at home in high school. She got invited to join a gang, various gangs. We're not joiners. I don't fuck with frats. She doesn't join gangs. We freelance. So she freelanced. And she always had these dudes in her life, these boyfriends. And it was just a really, really shitty tapestry of boyfriends, all of whom had these weak little weasel penis mustaches like this and huge winter coats that advertise like the Oakland Raiders. We live in Norfolk, Virginia. Nobody cares about the Raiders. And that's what they did. And they would just do bad stuff just to be bad. Like, I heard from a friend of hers that maybe one time, I don't know, she refuses to confirm or deny, but maybe one time they broke into rich people's houses and drank 40s and then just left and left the 40s on the coffee table, left the door open. And they would do that. I also heard one time that maybe refused to confirm or deny, they might have stolen some handguns out of a rich person's house and sold them on the street down by the Navy base. No matter what sketchy thing you do, if you do it next to a Navy base, it's like a million times sketchier. They did it just to do it, just for the, you know, like, and I don't know. I heard she gave a girl 2 black eyes at a party one time, standing there, like, they were drinking 40s on her side of the room, and this other girl was talking a bunch of shit. My sister said, hold this, and put her drink down, and went across the room, and they were like, no. She's, no, it's cool. I'm going to talk. I'm talking. And then she crossed the room, and that girl was looking up at her, big old eyes all of a sudden busted, and she just goes, and just stuck her in the eye real hard. And the girl's like crying. When you know, when somebody gets stuck in the eye for real, it's a wet smack, and just her eye is swelling shut and is all snot. She's like, what the fuck did you do that for? And apparently, supposedly, my sister said, so you could have a match set, bitch. Boom, it hit her in the other eye. Quentin Tarantino movie. That's, I don't know. Like, she's grown. She's got a child now and everything. She don't live like that. But just as a protective older brother, I'm in a difficult position because how are you supposed to protect that? Like, what are you supposed to do? She would, and then her boyfriends, I don't know, like, what they would do. I don't know how much sketchy gangness they were involved with for real. But one of them at least put the mixtape in before a drive-by. I don't know. And, like, really what I wanted to protect her from was not the dudes, but from her own choice-making abilities at that age. That's really what you want. When you hate your sister's boyfriend, you don't necessarily, well, you hate him, but what you really hate is that she picked him. That's what you really hate. And I could do nothing about it except for sit back and love her anyway. Well, I was studying art education, and when I finished school, right as I was wrapping it up, there's a mandatory for course requirement. I had to go into a public high school and teach at least 2 weeks in the art classroom in order to get course credit and therefore graduate with my degree. So I taught at her high school, and we worked out an agreement. This is the same high school that I graduated from. It was a little weird being back 3 years later, but not as weird as having to be an authority figure in the same building as my little sister. And we worked out an agreement that we would stay on opposite sides of the building at all times, right? Because if I saw her pulling something, I don't know what, I would be obliged to report it as a green teacher. We got blood between us, and that blood don't snitch. So just stay, you know, step aside. Things were cool. First week was all right, you know, got through it. Second week, I'm going along, and I saw all these kids bundled up, shoving a freshman up against the locker, and I definitely saw her boyfriend's triple fat goose. And they were just like, you know, just classic. We've all seen movies in the 1980s, right? Just like, why you fall in the locker? Why you fall in the locker? Why you fall in the locker? And now you can, if I'm motivated to sit here in front of this microphone telling funny little stories about my feelings, you're right to deduce that I was bullied as a child. But if you're listening to a comedy podcast, you're probably getting bullied right now too. So we're in it together. And I just felt like I could break the cycle and like fix all of history real quick, you know? So I went up and I shoved the kids out of the way. I said, go on, get to class. Get the fuck out of here. Go on, go, go, go. And they leave. And I saw the kid hunkered over against the locker, just sobbing and small, had a hoodie on, hood covering his face. And I reached up to the hood and pushed it back. And damned if it wasn't my little sister. Caught my little sister's boyfriend and his buddies just roughing her up against the locker in the hallway real quick. And I instantly turned from, I'm not a brother, I'm not a teacher, I am the human fucking torch. I am Superfly TNT, right? I'm White Flame. And I was like, Jess, are you okay? Are you okay? And she goes, I gotta go, shit! Her jaw is all tight and her eyes are all big and wet. And I know when she's like, definitely not crying, because I've made her make that face for like 20 years. I know, but other people getting involved is wrong. And she's gone. And it was exceptionally difficult to teach that day, I must say, because all I want to do is just find the kid and like just cover him with gas and set him on fire. Or tie him to my bumper and like blast Thin Lizzy and drive laps around the school, you know. And just one leg to his bumper, just drag him until he's a streak. I feel like that would be appropriate. And I'm going through my day and I'm going through the motions of teaching. I have all of these elaborate revenge fantasies in my head. And like, it's during my planning period and I go up into the bathroom. I walk in the bathroom right as like in my head, I've got him by the hair and I'm giving him a swirly, but not in the toilet, but in the open Ark of the Covenant and all the ghosts are eating his fucking face off. Just because he's just like that, think about it now, and his face is dripping all like a candle. And then I run into the kid in the bathroom, him and me, like, just showdown time. And the thing about having a bunch of elaborate revenge fantasies is they occupy time that you could have spent making an actual plan, which would have been better considering we were going to be in the building all day and probably see each other again. But I just went up to him, and he's like, his foot, the kid skipped class. He skipped class just to hang out in the fucking bathroom. Just, he preferred the company of the ghosts of shit's past to actually learning stuff. And he's looking out the window, and he's got this dopey little smile on his face, and the breeze is ruffling his mullet up off of his shoulders, and he's just taking it in. And I grabbed him by the shoulders and spun him around. And I just pulled him in. I said, hey, man, I saw you in the hallway with my sister, and I just want you to know, and ran out of plan. And what do I do? I'm just holding him. I'm just shivering with rage, and I'm losing the moment. And he's starting to, like, pull away, and I don't know what to do. And I just kind of did the first thing I could think of. I pulled him in, and I just kissed him on the mouth real long and hard, real hard, real deep. Oh, just giving it to him. But my eyes were wide open because I'm dominate and intimidate. Like, I could feel his gross little peach fuzz mustache against the inside of my lips sloshing around. And I'm just kissing him with the pure fury of my rage, you know, and I'm just transmitting it through my eyes and mouth, right? And, like, we have locked eyes, and I'm just like, because, like, you cross one of us, you cross everybody. And, like, I don't even care about my own life anymore after I see something like that, but you're coming with me. Right? It's just all fire and snakes for both of us, motherfucker. That's how it goes. And I'm just thinking this as I'm just kissing him. It's flying off of my tongue. And the crazy thing is that he isn't kissing back, but he isn't pulling away either. He's just like paralyzed. And then I just broke and just and shoved him away. And the full force of what I had just done hits me. I have mouth raped a student during my first week as a teacher. I'm not even done with college yet. And it's terrifying. So I just said, I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to seeing you around the house sometime in the future. I got to go. Take care, buddy. And I just left and then just collapsed in the hallway. And the cops never came. The shoe never dropped. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just faked it through the day. And then I'm at home in my room rocking myself and watching Batman the Animated Series, which is what gets me through a lot. My sister comes home, bangs the door open. I hear her. She's like, motherfucker, what have you done? What have you done? They were supposed to smoke blunts by the train tracks that afternoon, and he took the opportunity to just go ahead and break up with her. It was perfect because he couldn't tell the school – because they wouldn't have believed him. And he couldn't tell his homeboys because they were way too homophobic. So he was like, I'm just gone. I'm done. I'm whatever people do when they just leave high school. I'm going to go start a used tire store in Oklahoma or something. I'm out of here. And nobody ever saw him. We never saw him again as a family. She's in my room and she's like, what did you do? That is fucked up. That is so crazy. What have you done? And I just said, bitch is going to come and bitch is going to go. The love we got between us, that shit is deep and it is lifelong. And I am not lying, for real.
And there's your first story.
Oh my God.
What would you do? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing on both sides. Like whoever you would, even talking about it now, even thinking about it.
Yeah, I got riled up for my own brothers.
I was bullied in school, but none of my siblings ever saw it. And if they did, that would be the more embarrassing part. Or, you know how they would feel if you caught them being bullied and you'd be like, I didn't see that. But if this is happening to you, I mean, not that I know, right. You're being humiliated.
Hey, I randomly beat up Jimmy today.
Right.
You got any stories with Jimmy?
My sister once, I didn't know how to talk to chicks or anything. And I had a girlfriend for a minute. And my sister, who's 3 years younger than me, went out of the way to go from the junior high part to the senior high part. And saw this girl and said, and not that she was necessarily a bad news or anything, said, if you break my brother's heart, I'll kill you.
Just randomly?
And it came, and somehow, you know, the word got back to me that this happened. She didn't think I would know. Just like a nice thing. Like, if right. you break his heart, I'll kill you.
Wow, it's so not like your sister. Just for right. everyone to picture it, like, you know, we know Keith as this boisterous and loud and opinionated person. She goes out of her way to be polite.
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes you guys butt heads.
That she probably said it polite too. Listen. If you hurt him, I'll kill you. And you didn't break his heart yet, right? Yeah. So all's good. I'll be back in junior high now. Goodbye.
In junior high. Yeah. I love it. I've protected my brother.
2 years younger. This girl was 1 year younger, so she was 2 years younger than her.
Still, even 1 year younger. You remember, like, you know, in yeah. school, a month younger.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's like such a big deal. Not in high school at that point, but still. I protected Michael, who's my younger brother. My older brother is Andrew, and he basically... He got into his own fights and stopped. It was like a very brief period, I think, that we all go through. But Michael was always friendly with everybody, and nobody wanted to bother him at all. Like, he's just easy. He's always been an easy person, except for the only son that the next door neighbors had. They had two girls and a boy. And that boy was just kind of an asshole. He was very good at chit-chat, very good at being, like, so cool that people would be on his side. But then he was also a motherfucker underneath it. So I saw him, like, making fun of my brother. And then one time he's on our bus because he lives next door. This guy is 1 year older than me. My brother Michael is 3 years younger than me.
Right.
He decides to bully my younger brother. Wait until we get off this bus, you know, you're dead, blah, blah, blah. And Michael, he's not feeling that threatened, but I don't know. Now that I think about it, maybe he was just being a tough guy or yeah. just ignoring him or whatever. And also, you know, this is our next door neighbor. Our parents get together, you know, are you really going right. to, what are you going to do? I'm 4 years younger than you. But I was just getting boiled. I was just getting boiled. So when we got off the bus, I gave it to him instead.
And said...
I just said this. I don't remember what I said, and I hardly remember it because
I'm a sugar on you.
I just went. I went black. Like I saw red. I felt like, you know, that injustice that you feel.
Right.
This is a tiny person compared to you. You've been threatening him the whole time. I just went to town. I'm like, you can't do that. So, and I don't even know what I don't know what I was thinking. I can't beat up some dude, but I did get him because I used to scratch and pinch and, you know, right. and I also probably came out of nowhere, you know, and I don't know how much he wants to hit me. He tried to protect himself. Then he told his mom on me and I didn't care.
Oh, so you are fighting him?
I fought him. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I fought him. I don't know
how much. Oh, you did say went to town.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't want to wait and I was just so mad. I don't remember, like it's not that easy to get me mad, and it's takes a lot for me to get physical. Of course, when we're younger, we just get physical because we don't know what to say. But
MJG is asking, is this the same neighbor you used to fool around with?
Yes, later on.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, later on, he stopped doing it. And, like, it's not
let
like...
Let me say this to the bullies as well. It gets, it gets better.
But listen, it's not like this guy continuously bullied my brother. He saw a weakness that day in him for a second. Like, maybe Michael was being irritating or annoying because he's younger or, like, in his face. Or he was trying to make friends with him and not in the right way because he's so much younger. You know what I mean? He's just being a little brother, maybe.
He deserved it, yeah.
Yeah. So,
what?
What?
He deserved it? Your brother?
No. Oh, no. The other guy deserved it. The other guy deserved it big time. And again, I didn't see an actual threat being posed. I don't think this guy was really going to punch him or anything. But he wanted him to feel a certain way, and I didn't like it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I just, before you even think about talking to him again like that, just know that that's not going to happen. Then there was this other
time. Does he bring it up, like, when he's fingering you? Does he? Wasn't it funny? Like,
he didn't finger me, but thanks for asking.
What'd you guys do?
Actually, I only blew him, and I got no,
That's where the more power is, right?
Actually, it was my first, blowjob, and also one of my very, very first experiences with guys, and I was having a good time because, like, we were just kind of touching bodies, and, like, you know,
did
I was getting attention.
Did your brother know this?
Until after. It turns out, years after, I confessed to my brother that I just didn't want anyone to know. So I told my younger brother that this is what was going on with the neighbor, and he started laughing because he told me that he was doing the same thing with his sister.
See, I would be like, I'd be like, this is the guy.
He's just an asshole.
That threatened to beat me up, and you're blowing him.
Yeah, he didn't care because I have gotten into fights with this guy before. I feel like we were just, this is before we, I think, like, really hit. See, it must have not been in high school. It was not in high school. Sorry. It must have been eighth grade or younger because we only went to school together until eighth grade and we were only on a bus together until eighth grade. So we were pretty young and I think it was prepubescent. I think it was just on the cusp of it. And it's not like he threatened him every day. Like, I would get into more fights with this guy, you know?
I'm teaching my kids, look, you ever catch one of your siblings being picked on, blood is thicker than water. And you do not blow that person.
Hey, this guy kissed him on the mouth.
Well, that people are writing in, is the storyteller gay? How is that your first reaction?
He said that in the beginning, and this just proves that rape is not about sex.
Okay. Well, he takes nonviolence to an extreme level. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't go to these lengths when it came to nonviolence.
It's actually brilliant when you think about it, and it's funny that he didn't plan for it to be the brilliance that happens, which I think is the best part of it. That he, if this was pre-thought, it would be the smartest thing he can do because, like you said, this guy can't go to his homeboys and say, I just got kissed on the mouth,
right?
You know, for beating up this guy's sister. That's terrible.
But isn't that something? The sister is upset that she doesn't have this guy anymore, even though that guy is obviously a piece of shit. Now, what if I knew this when I was a kid? I wouldn't be shaking in my shoes talking to women. I'd find the ones that you can control. All those wasted years. Right, gentlemen? All those years we wasted. Would you like to come to the art event? No. You find the one that can. It feels like a piece of shit. I didn't know that.
You know what, though?
I'm buying sand dollars at garage sales, trying to ask a woman out to the movies. What's wrong with me?
And they know that you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Well, here's the thing. The people who do end up behaving that way are the people that probably...
Oh, I'm kidding about that. I'm not kidding. I bought a sand dollar.
No, I know.
Well, actually, it was for me. It was my favorite sand dollar, and I gave it, and it broke in her locker room. In her locker, yeah. She gave it... Well, actually, she gave it back, Crystal Glessner, and she gave it back. Said, I can't accept this. I'm like, I want you to have it. I know how awesome the sand dollar is,
oh my God.
But I want you to have it. She goes, no, I can't take it back, and I put it in my locker, and then I just leave it there. End of the school year, I'm cleaning up and the sand dollar's broken in half. It's like a little pinkish, closer to purple.
You want me to go blow her real quick?
Could you blow her? And just, it'd make me feel better that you were on my side if you gave her pleasure.
We had a good time. But you know what? The whole time, I didn't like him.
Right.
As a person. I never liked him as a person. I was very attracted to him.
Are you like, fuck you? For
no,
the record, I still hate you.
No, it was really, really great and a lot of fun until it wasn't, and then I just stopped. It was like, I think I'm done getting what I am getting out of this. Like, it was the first time that, you know, it was the second person I ever fooled around with, but it was the first time I was like really getting pleasure out of it. You know, just our bodies are touching, you know what right. I mean? So once that wore off, I didn't really get anything out of it. So I just stopped. But I never liked him as a person. I always thought he was kind of a piece of shit.
Right.
So yeah, maybe you're right about the sand dollars. Yeah. Oh, so I was going to say the women who, you would think could be controlling, I think right. are, or see, I said that wrong, but the women that you're talking about, I think are usually seem very aggressive and they'd be probably intimidating to you.
Right.
And then it turns out their boyfriend is smacking them around and they're, yeah. you know, they're not always the timid ones, the ones that like will bake you a pie and stuff, you know. Listen to what his sister sounded like.
Right.
She was badass. She was just randomly punching people, you know, and then you find out that her boyfriend's a piece of shit like that.
You just got to be tougher than them, though. You know, who ended up being my friends in high school? The bullies. Mm. They realized I wasn't taking it. Now, okay, we're people that can't fit in either. Let's hang out. And I quit punching you. By the way, they never let you go. You can punch me a few more times to even it out. They just go, okay, we're friends.
Well, you also gotta take it or it's gonna pass, you know?
Right.
There are moments where you can actually punch someone in the face and you're in the right and everyone kind of knows it, you know, and then you move on.
MJG saying, how could she deny a sand dollar in Pennsylvania? It has to be worth millions. You're not even near a beach. It had a little palm tree drawn on it. I said my favorite sand dollar. I wasn't collecting sand dollars. There's something about this. I liked it. And I'm like, I want you to have it. So goofy. I was in high school. These are your big years, right? I go to church, Melissa Olszewski.
You are the worst.
And I give her a Christmas card in church in front of her family. Whatever it said. I'm into you. What do you say? You know, I don't know what it said. But then she never like calls me or writes me. And I'm like, it's best. What the fuck was that?
You know, I don't know.
Now, both these people happened to marry people in high school.
Right.
So I had a chance.
Did anyone ever give you a note saying they liked
you? No, that's the funny thing. I never got any gifts.
But you were Mr. What is it?
Mr. Irresistible.
Irresistible.
It's probably something cute they say. You know, it's kind of like, you know what this is like, guys, when the chick is like, nah, we can't fuck. We know each other too well. You know, you can make a play at me. No, you're Mr. Irresistible.
You know when he said bitches come and go, like he said it twice once his sister said it to me. When I
call that, storytellers call that full circle.
Oh.
You'll hear a lot of that in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to guess. I honestly forget, but I'm going to guess. You'd be like, from the earlier. Because I was wondering, that story seemed very short in the beginning and not apropos of anything.
Almost irrelevant.
Almost very irrelevant. But now I see you said the same words per earlier, like a song.
Look at Keith's face.
Well, when you're not dating, you can pay attention in English.
Well, I've broken up with some people in the past, and I have two brothers, but Michael and I more talked about intimate details of our lives, and a lot of times Michael's response would be, okay, what is my position here? Because what would happen is I would date someone, and Michael was around a lot. We used to hang out a lot. You know, we just had the same interests, and he would come with me. And so he'd meet the boyfriends and my regular friends, and we would just all hang out. And so he'd make friends with the boyfriend. When we broke up, he would always ask me how I want him to deal with it, which is, I think, so sweet. And I always say, I don't know, treat it like it is. I don't need extra drama. You know what I mean? Right. If you're friends, you're friends. But what are you going to do? Go hang out for a burger? I guess. Okay, sure.
Yeah, Tiffany Smith, I sent her postcards over the summer. Like, I don't know, 20 postcards.
No, not 20.
Yeah.
No.
But not like out of desperation. I thought it was a cute thing.
Over the summer?
Over the summer. First day of school, I'm like, well, you got to say something now, right? Not a word.
You lived in the same neighborhood. She could say anything she wants at any time.
Then I found out she lives in Freedons, not Somerset, so maybe she never got the postcards. And I'm like, please, may that be the reason. But you know the postman knows everybody. He handed it to her at the grocery store. Anyway, shout out to Tiffany.
Did she not say a word?
She didn't say a word. So
come on.
So maybe she got them all at all.
No.
I don't know. Then why'd she squeeze my ass when I was walking into the bathroom and then hide?
What?
Yes.
When? Before or after the postcards?
Before.
Oh my God. So that encouraged you for a summer of postcards.
And then the ass squeezing stopped. Apparently, joke's on me.
Okay.
But you know what? I kept grabbing her ass every single day in school because I'm like, okay, you just opened that door now. Now, I'm not really getting any play. I just, you know, I go into the bathroom right before I do, boop.
Right.
You know, at the end.
Okay.
But she was the cat's meow.
I have a similar story. So in high school, like, almost nobody from my school was interested in me. Right. But every once in a while, somebody would tell my friend that they're interested in me. And I would always be like, ugh, I'm not into it. And then I'd be like, well, who cares? Let me date someone. Like, fine.
Right.
You know, so it would almost be like, like, I get, you know, who cares? I'll date them for like a week so that I could finally in high school say that I did something. You know, right. Everyone's getting picked up and dropped off
right.
and make out sessions. And I'm like, this guy, okay, good. Yeah, you know.
Right.
So they'd be interested in me. But I feel like as soon as I show interest, they'd be like, oh, yeah, you know what? We changed our mind. I'm like,
right.
Is it me?
Right.
Because you already said. So this one time.
Ask me again.
Right.
No, not interested.
Right. I wasn't interested to begin with.
Right.
So this one time, it was a guy who was in a class before me. So he would see me switch classes. And my friend was in his class, so he said, hey, you know, is your friend single? And I'm like, oh, whatever, who cares? And then finally, I would, like, linger a little, you know, just like, mom's still here, so I don't think she told you I'm not interested. Just pursue me. Somebody do something. Somebody have interest. And then my friend so casually just went, yeah, he's over it, so don't worry about it. And I'm just like, fucking hell, what am I doing? I think I have a good personality. It can't be that he's only interested in my looks and then I open my mouth and he's like, what a dumb bitch.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. So then there was this other thing. I think I was a senior. And this guy who was like pretty badass, I think that he got kicked out of another school and then just came to ours in senior year. And again, didn't like him.
Right.
But he was in, I think, my accounting class or something like that, economics, whatever it was. And
this is some high school.
He would stare at me. Like, I'm like, I'm not making this up. He's staring at me, right? And then my friend was like, you know, he looks at the door until you come in. I would come in late. He looks at the door until you're coming in. And I'm like, yeah, who cares? And then I'm like, well, here we go again. This is fine. So then I'd be like, okay, I'm up. Let's do this.
Right.
You know, you kind of sit up a little taller and you kind of like try to glance his way. But no, I'm just looking at the window. You're sitting by the window. And
I don't know if anybody told you, I blew my brother's bullet.
Hey. But he's not interested, I'd see, and I'm like, maybe he got shy because now I'm doing this thing. I think I wrote a letter.
Yeah.
I wrote a letter. Well, because
I think I gave my sand dollar up, I think.
No, because I'm not sure if I wrote the letter and gave it or just because I would write letters all the time. I would just write things all the time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I gave it to him. I'm pretty sure I blocked it out because that was the end of it. Never heard anything because I was like, hey, I think you like me and I wouldn't, but I don't even remember what I wrote. But it's so embarrassing because, again, I just want to take it back and be like, listen.
Right.
You started this thing.
But you,
I just wanted to try it on. I just want to try it on.
You've disagreed with me, but I think I'm 39. I think that you should be able to get back all the letters you gave in high school. I wish I had letters I gave to women in high school. I wish I had them back. You don't get to have those anymore. I also think if you're in a relationship, you have to throw out all those memories now.
I don't think so, but I hope.
I don't want some girl to have I'll be with you forever.
Me too. Well, I don't want them to. Well, not everybody has a talk show, so what are they going to do with it? You know, if I found something, I would read it to all of you people. I'd leave out the name, but.
Right.
I mean, not like real, you know, boyfriend love letters. That's
right.
That's too intimate, and it was like, obviously, we're together. But if I had the letter that I wrote, to some random person and then I never responded. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would read that shit.
All that stuff should just evaporate.
I think
like
people,
a ghost story.
People move around and get cluttered, and I think it just kind of goes to waste anyway. At some point, you've got to throw it out, right?
Right?
I don't know. Please throw it out.
If my wife had old love letters from a boyfriend, I get the fun of it, like meaning it's funny. But I don't know. I'd be like, it's a little weird. At the same time, I would like to look over these old letters that I got. Meanwhile, also.
So then you get it.
Well, here's the thing.
Would you keep it right now?
Would I keep it now? Now I would, because I wish I saved everything. But it's a little odd. And I probably because I have a talk show and I'm a dickhead. That's probably the only reason. But you know what? I said, like, nobody hit on me in high school. But I know they did. But right. I wasn't aware.
Right.
Just like, you know, these girls probably would hear this and go, really? I'm like, it was a fucking sand dollar. Yes, really.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a sand. I mean, you like me, but we were neighbors, so maybe you saw me a lot. No, I wanted to marry you, Crystal.
That's so sweet.
And then on Facebook, you find out what's going on in her life. She got cancer. And I'm like, if I would have married you, I would have made sure you ate all the proper foods.
Oh, my God.
We would have been okay.
See, it's also one of those things where I don't know how you're remembering everybody's name, because I would like to look up these people, but I got to take out my yearbook and I don't really give a shit, you know?
Right.
I don't fucking know. I don't even know if this kid graduated. I don't care. I didn't like you. I didn't like you. I needed something. I felt so behind.
I bet he's just enjoying the memories right now. She was so into me.
Oh, please. I bet he's making minimum wage.
Who knows?
Look at me. I see. I'm getting mad at him for no reason.
See?
I don't need to speak to him like that.
And now that everybody has a podcast, it's possible. It's possible.
I think if Lauren felt the way that you did, I would throw out my letters.
Right.
But I would not want to throw out my pictures. You know, maybe if it was a makeout picture, which I don't really think I have. But just the picture of, because it's part of my own history that I want to look back on, you know?
Right. And nowadays, Landfair from Amsterdam is bringing up a point. Now everything's sent through Facebook and email. So all that stuff is always saved automatically.
I think about that because I sometimes don't organize my picture so well because I'm like, oh, they're all on Facebook. One day Facebook is going to die and we're all going to cry.
How do you, on Facebook though, when you ask somebody out or you know, drop a little flirty thing, how do you make a bar? What do they check to say if they're into you or not? Yes, no. What do they, I don't get, how do you even talk? I don't even get it. Anyways.
And then he also, I wanted to comment on, he started with like.
Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff started with him crying, but he was so out of tears that he.
Air's coming out of his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, air's coming out of his tear ducts. Have you ever felt that way?
No.
No?
No.
I have. It's just like, and then you're making that sound because you really feel that way, that,
right.
But you feel like those fake two-year-olds are like, you're not crying. Right. You're not crying. You're making crying sound then.
But I am crying.
Well, because you could feel your heart breaking and you're just right. Like, and you're hoping tears will come out because you know they have to in order to kind of move on to the next thing.
It's the dry heaving of the eyes.
Yes. Yeah. You can't, if you go too far into it, you can throw up because you're making your body so upset that you're hyperventilating yourself.
Mm.
No, I've never thrown up. I see the way you're looking at me. But I could see how somebody would throw up because they're so upset.
Word on the street is that you shit your pants if you're very sad. All right. Do not forget, by the way, it's this time of the year. It's Christmas, right? What are your Christmas traditions? Baking cookies, decorating the tree? Well, this just in. It's everybody's, right? So get personalized gifts from Personal Creations related to such things. Bakeware and kitchen accessories, personalized. Wall art, personalized. Doormats, stockings, ornaments, all this kind of stuff.
There's also very dude-like stuff, like what Danny and Keith were talking about the other day, where it's kind of a throw pillow for your couch, but it has a cup holder, which, come on. That's so cool. How many guys do you know this Christmas that are getting all, you know, gifts that are not in, they're not interested in, that are not really for them? Everybody will know that this is for them.
Get up to 40% off selected gifts, and personalization is always included. The only way to get this deal is go to personalcreations.com. Click on the orange star on the top right. Use the code KATG. That's it. That's it.
And it's about 2 weeks to Christmas. Their turnaround time is really quick. So get on it now while the code is still giving you that discount, while you could still get it in on time and get a name on someone's present. And believe me, if it's your anniversary around Christmas, if it's your spouse's wife, on your spouse's birthday around Christmas, that does not mean that you could bulk up the thing and just call it Christmas and birthday together.
Believe me.
Separate those gifts.
Also, speaking of personalization, let me mention Squarespace. We did at what they call the top of the show. And I'm going to explain more what it is.
You're giving all the behind-the-scenes things.
It just came to me. I was impressed with myself. I had to share. Squarespace.com. Here's what's going on. You go there. You can start your own website. You know, websites aren't going out of business. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to, oh, what do I do with my .com? It's where people find. How are you? First of all, how are you going to get dates without a website nowadays? Right? But anyway, Squarespace is easy. It's drag and drop. It's, you don't need to know HTML. You don't need to know. I still don't know what it is. You don't need to know code. You don't need to know all this stuff. Here's what you do. You go to squarespace.com. You type in our offer code. It's KATG. You get, excuse me, KATG12. KATG12. You get 10% off your first purchase.
And also a month for free.
Thank you, Squarespace, for your support. Look, Squarespace has a support team that works 24/7. 24/7. Now, how much does a website cost, Keith? You're not telling me that information. It starts at $8 a month, includes a free domain name after you sign up for a year. Forgive me if you only need your site for 9 months. But if you need it for a year or more, you get a free domain name. $8 a month for a website. Hope that's not too much.
That you can update yourself. You take the nerds right out of the equation.
Right.
And right now, if you use it, send us your website. Send us your URL, your .com. Send it to us. Let us know that you're using Squarespace, that you used our code to sign up, and you might find that we'll talk about your website on this show. So you're all qualified as long as you use Squarespace to start your .com.
That's it. You know what I said. The code is KATG12, and you get all the deals. Trust me.
KATG12.
Jeff Simmerman started us off. Thank you very much. The Twitter is at Jeff, SimmerMon. He'll be at the UCB East here in New York the second Thursday of each month at 11 p.m., next one being January 9th of 2014. Twitter him, say hi, you know, all that kind of stuff. His website is andiamnotlying.com. Some of these stories, you're going to question yourself, but andiamnotlying.com.
Of course, you can let us know what you think about this show, keithandthegirl.com/forums. Thank you so much for listening and for spreading the word. keithandthegirl.com.